most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Welcome back to the final hour of Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes along with Vince Ferrar. I do want you to know that Golf Talk will be coming on board from 7 to 8 o'clock. My co-host is Braxton Hunter. Does a terrific job. He's an instructor at Fairways and Greens. We're going to be joined by Ethan Whitaker and Kennedy Noe. They were the junior winners of the five-star prep tournament that Jesse Smithy puts on. So we will talk with them. That was held at Oak Ridge Country Club. And then Sophia Schubert's going to join us. How about this? Sophia Schubert has been invited by the Golf Channel to be one of their on-course reporters for the U.S. Women's Amateur that is being played in the Washington, D.C. area. So we're going to talk to her about that. In fact, I think she may already be there, but we look forward to visiting with her. So that's what's coming up on Golf Talk from 7 to 8. And, of course, our usual package of local news and notes, as well as pro news and notes and topics. All right, let's go ahead and get to our sports fix at 6, and we got a golf question, so we'll see how we do with that. First, we'll tell you that you have a chance to win a $50 certificate to 865 Axe Throwing. How about that? $50 certificate to 865 Axe Throwing. Vince, I can only imagine the number of people that listen to our show that would like to win this and aim it at us. However, I don't know if we're going to let them do that. It's 1 hour of axe throwing for two people. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think it's growing in popularity. I've seen it. Now, it'd be nice if you're accurate, but they'll help you out with it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I've heard Eric Haynes talking about it, so you know it's got to be something fun. So, anyway, hey, that's what's up for grabs. Is a $50 certificate to 865 Axe Throwing if you can answer this question. All right, it is a golf question, as I mentioned. So here it is. Sometimes these can be challenging when we get off of football and basketball, but here we go. On the PGA Tour this season, now remember the season starts in November of the previous year, so going back to November 2019, there have been three multiple winners on the PGA Tour this season. Name two of the three. There have been three multiple winners on the PGA Tour this season. Name two of the three multiple winners. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900, the numbers to call. Let's go to Danny. Danny, you're on the Sports Fix.
Hey, Jimmy, how are you doing?
Hey, Danny, doing great. Hope you are, too.
Very good. How you doing, Vince?
Good, Danny. Hope you are.
Yeah, you want two of them. I want to say Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson.
No, it's neither one. Neither one of those two. Certainly great players, but they're not among the multiple winners on the PGA Tour this season.
All right, thank you,
Danny. All right, appreciate it. Let's go to Jeff. Jeff, you're on the Sports Fix.
Let's go with Justin Thomas and Bryson DeChambeau.
You are half right. Started strong.
Okay.
But thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Let's go to Daniel. Daniel, you're on the Sports Fix.
Hey, I'm going to say JT and Brendan Todd.
Yes, that is correct. Justin Thomas and Brendan Todd. Todd got two wins earlier. He's going for a third win. He's had the 54-hole lead on two occasions recently and not been able to hold on to it. But Brendan Todd is one. Yeah. I thought that'd be tough to get him. The other one, do you know the other one, Daniel?
Is it Webb? Webb Simpson,
yeah,
maybe?
Webb Simpson.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's it. So those are three multiple winners on the PGA Tour this year. Good job, Daniel. For your efforts, get that arm warmed up. $50 certificate to 865 Axe Throwing. They provide the axes, the targets, the lanes, and the throw. You get coaches on this, too, okay? That ought to help you out.
Sweet.
So, anyway, you can find out more information by going to 865ax.com. So, congratulations to you, Daniel. We're going to put you on hold and get that prize to you, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. That'll do it for the Sports Fix at 6. Vince, have you ever, like, thrown an axe in this situation? I mean, I've thrown an axe at a tree, but have you ever tried to throw an axe in one of these deals?
No, I haven't. It sounds like it is something that is fun. It's growing. And the way they do it there, they're with the coaching, the instruction, the safety parameters. You don't have to, have the level of concern that you would if you're from the outside and you just hear about it for the first time. So I'm certain they do it right. But no, I haven't personally done it.
Yeah, me either. And from what I've heard and from listening to people, I think it'd be fun to give it a shot. So maybe one of these days we'll give that a try. But hopefully the folks will enjoy that. Our winner will enjoy that. When we come back, we're going to hear some from Philip Fulmer from our interview last week. We've also got Archie Manning, the interview that we had from him last week as well. So we'll bring that to you also. With Vince Farrar, I'm Jimmy Himes. You're listening to Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.
When special guests call in to 99.1 The Sports Animal, you hear them on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, stanleyfence.com.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes with Vince Farrar. If you want to join us, 656-9900. Vince, I just saw this. So we talked earlier about the Pac-12 and about a group of players out there. It's been reported as many as 400 want to make some demands before they play. Well, how about this one? Washington State coach Nick Rolovich told wide receiver Cassidy Woods that aligning with a Pac-12 player unity group would create an issue with the program. That's according to a recording of the phone call obtained by the Dallas Morning News. Woods actually called Rolovich to tell him he was opting out of the season because Woods has sickle cell traits and would be at an enhanced risk amid the coronavirus pandemic. Rolovich told Woods he had no issue with his reasoning. Then he asked Woods if he was going to be a part of the players threatening to opt out of the season. And Woods said that he would be, and Rolovich said that's going to be an issue if you align with them as far as future stuff. The COVID stuff is one thing, but joining this group is going to be different. If you say I'm opting out because of the COVID and health and safety, I'm good. But this group is going to change how things go in the future for everybody, at least at our school. Vince, I don't think that's a very smart move by Washington State's coach.
No, you can't. You can't take that stance, and I'm guessing he may not even have all the information on it and to rush to that kind of judgment and put that on him. Oh, by the way, you know it's going to get out and it's going to be used against you by everybody else. So I don't think that was the best move for him.
There have been two Washington State players that have formally opted out of the season. I was not aware of that. Other Washington State players have said they'll support the unity movement but haven't opted out. So, wow. Washington State held a team meeting Sunday night to address the situation. The enhanced summer access program begins on Monday, meaning today. And by the way, for those that are not aware, Tennessee is scheduled to start their practice, whatever that looks like, this Friday. And we expect Jeremy Pruitt to be involved with a Zoom conference call perhaps on Thursday. So this week we'll have some action coming out of Tennessee. So now this is another part of this story out of Washington State. Wood's mother tweeted out Sunday that multiple Washington State players who supported the unity movement were cut and told to clean out their lockers. Washington State said Sunday that no players have been removed from the team. The damage is already done, Cassidy Wood said. That is let me make sure that's the player. Yeah, that's the player, the wide receiver. Wow, interesting situation up there. Shoot, that's all I've got to say about it. If they had shown me they wanted to stay, they wouldn't have done all this, so I'm not the problem here. I didn't create the problem, they did. Interesting situation there. And I think we're going to see more players around the country take the opt-out route, as we talked about earlier, Vince, not necessarily because of the unity movement in the Pac-12, but for other reasons. So I'll be curious to see how this one plays out long-term. All right,
yeah, a couple other situations. Sorry, I was just going to say a situation like that, that's kind of hearsay, contradicting stories from what the school and what the reports are. So it's hard to know what the truth is on that.
Yeah, exactly right. Let's go ahead and hear from Archie Manning. We had a chance to visit with him. It had been many years since we had interviewed Hall of Fame, College Hall of Fame quarterback from Ole Miss, who had two sons, of course, were fantastic quarterbacks. But we had a chance to catch up with him last week. And here's part one of our interview with Archie Manning. I wanted to visit with you about this. Of course, you had your jersey retired at Ole Miss. Peyton had his jersey retired at Tennessee. And then Ole Miss has retired the jersey of Eli. I'm sure you've got to be proud that that Eli is being recognized that way by Ole Miss.
Well, certainly we're proud, and Eli is really honored. You know, Eli, he loves his 5 years at Ole Miss and 3 years playing varsity football here, and they had some good years. Of course, his head coach was David Cutcliffe, who everybody in your part of the country knows who that is, and it was a good run. So, but to have your number retired, it really touched Eli. I'm not sure exactly they were going to do it at the Auburn game, but everything's kind of changed and limited. That was an early game and said, well, the season's not going to start now until late September. But it may even hold off a year, depending, you know, how these crowds and how that all shakes out. But it's going to happen, and Eli is really honored.
Well, I was joking with you earlier because they said the speed limit on campus was 18 miles an hour, which was in honor of your number. And I wonder if they're going to slow it down to 10 for Eli.
Well, they might. Actually, there are parts of campus. I'm in Oxford right now. We just came up just to kind of get away from New Orleans. And there are parts of campus where the speed limit is 10 miles an hour. And that was done, I think, when Eli, I can't remember, it was his first or second Super Bowl that the Giants won, maybe the second one. They changed it. Actually, all around the athletic facility is called Manning Way, and it's 10 there. And the Grove, around the Grove on campus that Ole Miss is known so well for, is 10 miles an hour. So they may go ahead and change it all to 10. Who knows?
Archie, it is an absolute pleasure to catch up with you again. As far as Eli goes, what does it mean to you, and what did it mean to him that he was able to play his entire NFL career with the Giants? I know you would have loved to with the Saints. Peyton, I know, would have loved to have always been a Colt, but you guys wound up playing with multiple teams. What was it like for Eli to play every NFL game he played with the Giants?
It was really special to him. We had a beautiful day when Eli decided to retire back in, it was before the pandemic, thank goodness. I guess it was maybe early February. And Eli really toyed with it. You know, Eli, the Giants hadn't been real good the last 2 years, but that's football, and that's how it goes, up and down. But Eli really, regardless of what a few people said, maybe a couple of New York writers, he really didn't lose physically a lot. His arm was still good. His arm was just as good as ever. And of course, I always said he never could run, so he didn't lose any speed, you know. But the fact that Daniel Jones came in last year, and the Giants needed to draft a young quarterback, they weren't doing good, so they sat Eli down, and Daniel played well, and he's their quarterback of the future. So Eli, he talked to a few people, and you know, he would. If he goes somewhere else, he's going to fight for a job. He might be a backup. Eli has four kids. It would mean moving four young kids and his wife, Abby, and schools and all those type of things. But I think what you said, John, more than anything, he wanted to retire John. And Wellington Mara, the longtime owner of the Giants, always had a saying, once a Giant, always a Giant. And Eli closed out his press conference remarks that day saying, once a Giant, always a Giant. But for me, only a giant. And so it really did mean a lot to him too. And I think a lot of players think that's a special thing. I know Peyton did. I know Peyton, even though things worked out pretty well for him in Denver, it broke his heart to leave Indianapolis. He kind of felt like he was a player who needed to play his entire career in one place. And it doesn't always work out like that. But I think the people that did get to do it, it does mean something to them.
Have you thought about, now granted, there's so much that is swirling about as you talked about, but if indeed the NFL season goes as planned, what are your plans since there is not right now a current Manning playing in the NFL?
Oh, I'm not very interested right now. Well, it has. It's been, what is it, 20-something years that we've had one or two playing on Sunday afternoon, and we kind of still pinch ourselves. Olivia and I, by the way, we'll be married 50 years in January. We kind of pinch ourselves. That wasn't a plan to try to raise quarterbacks, but the fact that they played, enjoyed, and had a lot of good days, and so we feel really blessed. But you know, that's at an end, and so we'll still I'll still follow pro football. I sure hope they play. I think they will. Probably, you know, the Saints, where we still live in New Orleans, and I was in my 12th year with the Saints when I got traded, so Saints have kind of been my third team for the last 20-something years, as we followed the Colts and Giants and then the Broncos and Giants. So I can go back to kind of get back to the Saints now. And I love college football. Obviously, keep up with my alma mater at Ole Miss. I follow Tennessee real close, always pull for the Vols. And I'm being a little selfish right now. I hope everybody gets to play football this fall, certainly the NFL. And college, I saw the news today on the SEC. But being selfish, I really want high schools to play this year. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where we kind of spend, we back on Friday nights are doing that with a grandson, and that's fun.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. Arch Manning was terrific as a freshman, 34 touchdown passes. I saw where you had been quoted as saying he's a little ahead of Peyton and Eli at this age. How is he ahead? Is it physical?
Well, Jimmy, you know, I was in Indianapolis doing some marketing work for actually Peyton's hospital, and had to do some media. I was pretty cautious throughout the year not to really comment on Arch Cooper and Nelson Stewart, the head coach there at Newman. They didn't let Arch do any interviews last year. It just felt like as a freshman, you know, let's let him be a freshman, let him get his feet wet. We didn't know it would go as well as it did. And Cooper and I and Peyton, Eli, everybody kind of in the same boat. But I had to talk to the media one day in Indianapolis, and they said, well, how does he stack up with Peyton and Eli? And I said, well, he's probably a little bit ahead because he's playing as a freshman. And Peyton did not play. He was a backup and played JV as a freshman. Eli followed the same path, backup, JV as a freshman, and they didn't start at Newman High School till their sophomore year. Now, of course, it made not only the Indianapolis paper, but Knoxville paper, New Orleans paper, every paper in the country that I said that Arch was ahead of Peyton and Eli. So, but it just common sense, he'd be a little bit ahead of him if he's playing and getting experience, which he did.
I've seen some footage on him. It looks like he's a pretty good runner, throwing rollout passes.
Yeah.
Has he got pretty good mobility?
Yeah. He's athletic. He's always been a good athlete. He's a good, real good basketball player. He was a good. He's given up baseball, but he was a really good center fielder. But he moves good. He can run, and he really had a growth spurt this summer. Gained a bunch of weight and kind of got in the weight room and everything. But he runs. He is funny sometimes. Some of the younger guys, they didn't see me play, but you know, they say, golly, Arch can run a little bit, and they you know, they've seen Peyton and Eli, and they say, where do you get that speed? And I just say, hey, you know.
Well, surely they didn't see you if they said that. Yeah. That's part one of our interview with Archie Manning. Really, really enjoyed visiting with him. We'll bring you part two here momentarily. But Vince, with the news that Eve Pons is returning to the University of Tennessee as expected, Aaron Torres from Fox Sports has come out with his preseason hoops top 25. What does it look like?
Yep, he's got Villanova number one with Gonzaga number two. Tennessee comes in at number 14. The SEC schools ahead of Tennessee, well, there's only one, and that's Kentucky, who comes in at number nine. So Tennessee is the second highest in the SEC at number 14. My guess is that Tennessee will have fans will have higher expectations than 14 and think that their team should be higher. I would probably put them a little bit higher, but I also haven't evaluated everybody's returns yet and studied everybody's rosters. So I think they have top 10 potential when it's all said and done. I think they could even be better in top 10, honestly. But let's see how the rosters look like. There could still be transfers between now and then as well. I think there's still waivers on some NCAA decisions also. LSU comes in at 18, Arkansas at 20, Alabama at 22. I wonder if Aaron Torres was influenced by John Petty Jr. returning to the Crimson Tide. So that's how the top 25 looks for Aaron Torres. Tennessee at 14, second highest in the SEC.
Well, apparently wasn't influenced by Jeff Goodman.
What, because of Alabama, you mean?
Yeah. Goodman the one that had him win in the SEC, perhaps?
Yeah, and winning the SEC, you would think they would be higher than 22. So, yeah.
This guy wasn't influenced by Jeff Goodman's optimism about Alabama.
Right. Well, yeah. I think Jeff Goodman, he's kind of on, you know, on his own on that. I haven't seen a ton that think Alabama is winning the SEC.
Me either.
Obviously, Kentucky is always up there, and some, I'm sure, are high on Tennessee. By the way, the rest of the top five, Jimmy, Nova 1, Gonzaga 2, Baylor 3, Virginia 4, and Illinois 5, who I think has also had some guys return to school and opt out of the NBA. That could be in Iowa at number 6. The Big Ten is loaded. Wisconsin at 8. Michigan State at 11. So you think about the Big Ten teams at 5, 6, 8, and 11. It's pretty good. And that would be as good a year. It's been a while since Illinois has been that good. They used to be. So interesting they've got the Illini with a quality year expected.
And some news coming out of the Tennessee Titans camp.
Yeah, Titans have officially signed first-round pick Isaiah Wilson. He is currently the big tackle from Georgia. He is currently on the reserve COVID-19 list, but they needed to get this deal done anyway. So just official to get another draft pick signed for the Titans.
That's Vince Ferrar. I'm Jimmy Holmes. When we come back, we'll have part two of last week's interview with Archie Manning. You're listening to Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.
To take the latest on Tennessee sports coverage with you anywhere you go, download the Sports Radio WNML app. Powered by Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes along with Vince Ferrar. Let's bring you now part two of our conversation last week with Archie Manning. I think I'm right about this. I think that you held your kids out of football until like the seventh grade. I think that's right.
I thought school football was kind of the place to start. I'm not knocking. You know, I'm familiar with Pop Warner football around the country, and it's a good program. At the time when I was playing ball for the Saints and had some friends that was coaching playground tackle football, and they asked me to stop by, you know, and say something to the kids, and I watched a little bit, and I said, you know, I don't know if that's the best thing for fourth and fifth graders to be playing tackle football. Now, and also in those days, there wasn't much flag football, you know. So, and so my Cooper, Peyton didn't play any flag football. It wasn't available. Eli did. He went to a little different school for a while and in grade school, played some flag football, which I think is wonderful. And then my grandkids all did that. So I don't, that's just my own personal feeling. I don't think it's necessary to play tackle football until something is, you know, maybe at your school when it's really done right and not necessarily on the playground with, you know, some old jock like me out there coaching who maybe has a, maybe doesn't know what he's doing. So that was just my own personal feeling.
Mm-hmm. Archie, one of the things that we, my wife and I shouldn't have put off, but since we had some free time without sports, we streamed each and every one of Peyton Place's 30 episodes and really thought, one, Peyton did such a marvelous job with it, but also enjoyed how much you were a part of it, loved all the selfies, and also learning that do all your grandkids call you Red?
They call me Red. They call me Red. Y'all know I had red hair one time. It's not red anymore, but I don't know. You know, that's always kind of a and our first grandchildren were Coopers. May Manning is 17, Arch is 16, Hyde is 14. So those were the first grandchildren. And I don't know. I think Cooper even had something to do with, you know, you're looking for that granddaddy name and that grandma. Sometimes it just falls in place. But Red was found me. I have a lot of friends that still call me Red because in high school, college, even some of the guys I played with in pro ball, they still call me Red. So it suits me fine.
One of the things that I was so impressed with, one, to learn how Brett Favre patterned his game after you and your style of play, and to hear Roger Staubach and to hear that there was from an administrator that with Green Bay that you at one point were perhaps on your way to the Packers if Bobby Scott hadn't gotten hurt. How much did you enjoy all that that Peyton learned and showcased in Peyton's Places?
Well, I did. He kept me up with it. He really put a lot into that. You know, he worked on that show. I think he made close to 30 stops traveling around for 2 years. Even a couple of them by the time they got out, it might have been one or two that were a little dated, but still, it was all part of the 100th year of pro football. So he worked really, really hard on it. And Peyton, out of my three children, was more of a historian and more interested in the – the older players in the history of the league, maybe the other two of us. So that was really, really fun to him. I can remember the day, it was a lot of, it looked like on trade deadline, it was going to be a big quarterback shuffle. And five or six teams looked like we're going to, get rid of a quarterback or add a quarterback. We weren't playing very good in New Orleans, winning any games and everything. And so this coach named John North, it was sitting me down for a game. We were over in Atlanta. Scotty was my backup, and so Scotty played Atlanta, and Scotty got hurt. So maybe Scotty kept me getting in the – but I wasn't glad he got hurt, but I really didn't want to go anywhere. back to the Peyton Places that just meant really a lot to pay. I'll give you an example about, some people got to be older and familiar with some of the players of the past. But one day Peyton just called me. He said, Dad, I just spent 3.5 hours with Raymond Berry. And so, a lot of people in this generation don't know who Raymond Berry was. But, of course, he was Johnny Unitas' receiver. He's one of the finest. He was on a coaching staff one time when I was playing. He's one of the finest human beings I ever knew. And of course, Peyton loved talking to Raymond Berry primarily about Johnny Unitas. And, when I came up, guys, and kids are talking about majority of teenagers, high school players, who's your favorite player? Most of it was Johnny Unitas because he was, set the pace back then in those great Colt teams that he quarterbacked. And Raymond Berry was, he was a perfectionist, and the success they had together. And Raymond was really great to spend all that time. They did that show. I don't know if y'all remember. They did a show in Pittsburgh on a field where Johnny Unitas played semi-pro football for $6 a game. And, and Raymond was, recapping some of the things. It was pretty special. So yeah, Peyton included me in a few things, had his brother and Eli and a couple, had Cooper a couple. So he, that was fun. And I'm glad people enjoyed that, it was streamed for a long time, but then during the pandemic, I think ESPN needed to, needed some content there. So, a lot of people got to see it. So I'm glad it worked out well.
Archie, one other thing real quick, if you would, just talk about the Manning Passing Academy. It's been fantastic. I know you've done it for over 20 years. What's the most enjoyable thing you have experienced in having the Manning Passing Academy?
Well, I guess selfishly, Jimmy, I can tell you how it started. When Peyton was a high school junior, he went to the Bowden Passing Academy. It was over in Birmingham, over out at Sanford. Sanford. Terry Bowden was coaching at Sanford. So his dad, Bobby, came and his brothers, and they were there. And so Peyton went one year. And then I can remember Coach Bowden was recruiting Peyton. He told me, we were in his office one day, and he said, that's four of the best days of my year because I get to spend it with my boys. So Peyton enjoyed that experience, and when he was there at Tennessee, he kept saying, Daddy, let's start a football camp, kind of like the Bowdens. And so I selfishly went along with it, kind of thinking, these boys are growing up, they're going to be going off, and that's still the most enjoyable part of it to me. And this would have been our 25th year, is 4 days with my boys. We kind of have an apartment there in Thibodaux, Louisiana, and each of us has a room and kind of a little middle section, and we're there in there together. And we're working hard, and we have 1,200 kids there and staff of about 200 people. But I think to get to spend that time, and the fact that we hope we've touched a lot of kids. Sometimes I think you read about basketball tournaments and AAU stuff, and that a lot of people think our camp is a recruiting thing, or it's just a 4-star or 5-star thing. It, not so. Our mission to start with was to enhance the high school experience, and so we have quarterbacks and receivers from usually 46, 47 states and even a few foreign countries, but it's not about necessarily becoming a college football player, but certainly not becoming a pro football player. It's to enhance that high school experience, which we think is a great institution. And we were really disappointed that we get, like a lot of people with their camps, that we didn't get to have our 25th this year. But next year, we hope things will be on course and running smooth again, and that'll be our 25th year. But it's been a lot of fun.
Comments from Archie Manning. Vince, what stood out to you about the interview with Archie?
Yeah, he was tremendous. Just so many great, stories and perspectives. Love all of what he said about Peyton's place and how hard he worked on that, and just some of the background and how he really, more than anyone else in the family, out of his boys, that was the historian of the family. And also how, I think this was in part one, how heartbroken he was to leave Indianapolis. And you expected that, but I don't know that Peyton or Archie have talked about that specifically that much publicly in saying that. And he was right. They did great things in Denver, obviously. But he wanted to finish his career as an Indianapolis Colt, and that was important to him. And I thought that conversation was really neat too. So, just such a class act, knows the game. I thought it was interesting that you've gained another Saints fan, apparently, since he didn't have any of the Manning boys in the NFL for the first time this year. He's going to be able to root for the Saints a little bit more. So, just a class act. Always nice to hear about the family from Archie.
Always room on that Saints bandwagon. I will not kick anybody off. I did not know the story. I knew about the starting of the Manning Passing Academy. I knew they did that back in the late 90s when Peyton was at Tennessee. I didn't know the origin of it. I didn't know that it started based on what Bobby Bowden having a camp with his sons. I was unaware of that. I guess I should have known that. But I thought that was a neat story as well.
And, you know, we've talked to Tony Rasiopi, who is Jared Garantano's quarterback coach, and he is one summer quarterback coach, and he's one of the few on-field coaches. I think there are only six of them that get to be a part of that, and that's how much they trust Tony. So, and they're not about it's not about recruiting, and really it tests guys what they're all about and their importance they put into it. But can you imagine going there and having access to the Manning family and all of the other coaches there to be able to learn and pick their brain? Goodness, I mean, what a goldmine.
Absolutely. So, anyway, just a special conversation with a special guy. I really appreciate Archie Manning taking the time to visit with us like he did. Hey, when we come back, it'll be our final segment of Sports Talk with Vince Ferrar. I'm Jimmy Himes. Sports Talk 99.1 D Sports Animal.
The station where winners listen and listeners win. 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes along with Vince Ferrar. Vince, the NBA playing today. Do we have some updated scores?
We do. I mentioned earlier that the Toronto Raptors beat the Miami Heat 107-103. Do want to correct. I was mentioning a couple of the key players for the Toronto Raptors. OG Anunoby is one of their really good players. Didn't have a great game today. Really, it was Fred VanVleet with 36 points. Pascal Siakam, though, that's their guy. He's their star. So the Raptors beat the Heat 107-103. No minutes from VFL Kyle Alexander, who is there in case they have some injuries to their bigs. Other NBA games from today, Indiana Pacers beat the Admiral Schofield and the Washington Wizards 111-100. A few minutes for Admiral Schofield. Didn't have a big game in terms of points, so the Wizards are fading fast in the standings. So the Wizards lose 111-100. And then the other NBA game today is in overtime as the Denver Nuggets, with 42 seconds left in overtime, leading the Oklahoma City Thunder 117-113. That's important for both of those teams. So that's the NBA from today.
All right. A couple of comments from Coach Fulmer. We had him on last week. Want to bring you the comment that he made when I asked him about what about playing the first six games for Tennessee against East Division opponents and then the last four against teams from the West.
You know, Jimmy, I mean, that may be something I can bring up to the commissioner. I haven't really – nobody's talked about that. You really don't know what the virus is going to do. You know, and you know, we could have to play a makeup game, you know, there before the SEC championship game. I think the flexibility that they're talking through is what they're seeking. We're all seeking, and that really hasn't been talked about. I do know we won't play anyone twice. You know, that was brought up, and it's, I do know it's not just about the rotation, and that there's going to be a really effort to work at getting the balance where the whether they're early or late, you know, home games and all those kind of things. There's been some work done by the conference and others, but they're not ready to announce it.
Coach, not exactly sure how I'm going to form this question, but I'm not digging for information, but I just thought that there recently there was a story that was put out highest paid coaches in their respective sports. Those that have taken pay cuts or agreed to reductions in pay based on lost revenue with COVID and all that. And Rick Barnes was listed as one of the highest paid basketball coaches that has not had his salary adjusted. I'm not so sure that was a fair spotlight to shine on Coach Barnes, because I don't know that he's been asked to take a reduction in pay. Jeremy Pruitt was also listed, and I'm just wondering, when it comes to those schools that have voluntarily or implemented pay cuts, that's one thing, but has Tennessee taken any steps in that direction?
And did Jimmy make you ask that question?
No.
I just said we are looking at everything that we can look at, and it's certainly something that we're considering as we go forward.
Yeah.
And I think anybody that looks at, you know, their day-to-day budget, or, you know, when things change or get a little harder, and yet you have to look at everything. And we have done that. I think there's been two schools in our conference that have actually already made those kind of moves, and we certainly have discussed everything that we think might help us. And some of that, you don't rush to judgment. You know, you don't make a decision too soon. But you don't want to make it too late either.
Right. And just to clarify, I just thought it was unfair to put coaches in a specific category and appearing that they are not going to adjust their salary, even though some had already, because my guess is you want to make sure everything's in line before you would even announce something in that direction. So I was just highlighting more the fact that I thought it was pretty unfair at this stage to highlight any coach that so far has not had his salary reduced or adjusted.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, we just started the physical year, the new physical year. So you're exactly right. But we're looking at everything we can look at.
I'm going to ask a question John wants me to ask.
I was kidding, John. You usually give him the softball and take the hard one.
Oh, that's Philip Fulmer from last week. Vince, we got about 40 seconds left. Your thoughts?
Yeah, funny. John Wilkerson, the silencer of Philip Fulmer. He was like, did Jimmy force you to ask that question? Just tremendous. I think it's something that if they need to go that route, they would with that. But, with the money. But, you know, it's just Tennessee doesn't have the urgency that I think that a few other schools have felt they had to on that subject.
All right, tomorrow we look forward to being joined by Chris Doering with the SEC Network, Mike Keith with the Tennessee Titans. Vince, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Jimmy.
And you want to keep it right here for Golf Talk. We've got several guests coming up. This has been Sports Talk.